Lidusin Mizmar Lidavid. Question: what is the word li? What is the word liyidusin? This is the most. The part of the shir that's the most fun is the first shir of every mizmar. That is to explain the background to the mizmar. When did David compose this mizmar? Why did he compose this mizmar? For whom did he compose this mizmar? All of the secrets of the mizmar could be found in the very first pasuk of each mizmar. And this is certainly no exception. So instead of me babbling, let's exactly just read from the words in the different mafarshim what they say. Let's start with the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David pasuk Aleph on page, he actually doesn't say anything to the start. On page 351 is the Mizmar, but he doesn't comment on why David wrote this Mizmar. So let's go to Rashi. Okay, we'll go to Rashi. Rashi says, who is Yidusin? A name of a person. He was a person who was a musician, a composer, a musician. He was a maestro. Or he was one of the two. Either he was a musician, he was a maestro, conductor, all the different terminology which I'm not familiar with, and David went and he said, I'm giving this mizmar specifically to you. It is your role to sing this mizmar. Now, this opens up a whole world of commentary. Because until now, we've learned Baruch Hashem number of mizmarim, 38 mizmarim, and we've come across an idea that certain mizmarim should be played on a certain musical instrument or on a certain key, D minor or people here are fluent in the world of music know that there are certain melodies have a certain flavor, a certain theme. And you attempt to bring out an emotion, and there are certain instruments which are much better. They're much more. They just have a better ability to bring out an emotion that is desired. So we've had many times where David says that this melody should be played using a specific musical instrument. Over here, according to Rashi, he's saying something totally new that we never had before. That this mizmar should only be played and conducted and sung by a certain person. There are certain people that are jokers, and there are certain people who are gloom and doom. Okay, there are certain people that have. I know of a person. Very interesting story. A person he was a joker. He was such a big joker. He made a CD. He made many years ago a CD. He made a CD like Bat Chonis. It was phenomenal. It's just I don't want to say what it is because I won't tell you the end of the story. He was just thoroughly outstanding. Problem is this person. He got divorced, and then when he wanted to remarry, he had a very hard time because he had a reputation as being a joker, and it wasn't true. Well, he was a very serious person just because he became famous for, you know, making a CD that was very good, kosher humor. And when you would present his name to someone, because he had a tragedy that he had, they right away, I don't want a joker. I need someone serious. And there are certain people that have. In his case, it was a tragedy, but there are certain people that have a certain, just their presence. Their presence evokes a certain emotion. Like there are certain people, I once heard Rabbi, the head of the OU, the executive director of the OU, Done with the W, Weinreb. Yes. What's his first name? Ray Weinreb. Zvi Hirsch. Zvi Hirsch Weinreb. The Zvi Hirsch Weinreb for many years, and still, it's still true, I haven't been following, on Tisha B'Av was a legend. Still is. A legend. And he once said, I once heard him speak, and he once says that, you know, like people, you know, I work the whole year at the OU, I do a lot of things, but many people only know me for one thing. They only know me for my Tisha B'Av drashas. He gave a shir the whole day on Tisha B'Av. Mamash the whole day, and people, so he says, when I go to an event, people see me, they think it's Tisha B'Av. just my presence, because since many people in public only know me from Tisha B'Av, when I walk go to public, I walk into a room on Purim, oh no, it's Tisha B'Av on Purim, because there's a certain presence. And there are some people who, you know, they're like, you know, the Balei Tefillah of the Yamim Noiran. On the Yamim Noiram, you hear their voice. Oh, this is the Baal Tefillah of the Yamim Noiram. When you see them in the middle of the winter, oh, it's the Yoyim Hadin. Just seeing them evokes in the mind an expression, a feeling, association with the Yamim. And it's not just you know, oh, this is the person. They have something to them. They fit. It's just that's their tafkid in life. Their life, there are certain people that there are certain people that are gloom and doom, and there are certain people that are happy people. Everyone has a certain niche in life, and this is where they belong, and this is their tafkid in life. And when they're out of place, they appear in different parts. It doesn't really necessarily go off well. So here as well, this person Yidusun, obviously according to Rashi, was a person that his nature, his mannerisms, his neshama fits like a glove to the theme of this mizmar. And that's why who's going to be the one that's going to sing and lead Klal Yisrael in this mizmar? The only one that I know, David says, I know a lot of people. That was the Melech. He knew a lot of people. The one for whom is the fits. This is the one that gets the job for this thing called Yidusun. He fits. There may be people that have more qualified, have more experience, and are smarter, and have this and that. Doesn't matter. This person, this is what his destiny is. He's cut out for this job. The theme, the concepts of this melody, of this mizmar, they go to none other than the person by the name of Yidusun, Lemay Nafkamina. I guess it means in all future generations, when this mizmar will be given over to the Beis HaMikdash to someone to lead, you have to make sure you have the right leader to sing this mizmar. If you give this mizmar to the wrong person, it's not going to go off well. There's more to the mizmor than just the words, the lyrics, the melody. There's more to it. There is the person who actually says it. He creates a mood. His presence adds an enormous amount to what it says in the mizmor. And if you don't have the right person leading this mizmor, you're going to ruin it. That's not necessarily true when it comes to all of the other mizmarim. All of the other mizmarim, very rarely, if at all, do we have David insisting, I want a specific person to lead in the recital of this mizmar. Otherwise, you're going to ruin it. You're just going to ruin my mizmar. Over here in David's lifetime, who was the person that was miyuchad to lead? Yidusun. The lesson is, in all future generations, make sure for this particular mizmar you put up the right Baal Tefillah. Other mizmarim, he doesn't make such conditions. Anyone who wants to go to the Yamun and lead the mizmar, gezunt heit, everyone has a right. It's Torah for everyone. But this mizmar, you got to be precise. Rashi again. Rashi pasuk aleph liyidusin shem adam echemin hamesherim v'gam klishir hayusham sheshmo yidusin. Now we have a second interpretation, and this is something we've seen before in Tehillim, where there was the name of a musical instrument and it was called yidusin, and this musical instrument creates a certain mood, and that's what has to be used. Then he says a third interpretation, which is very, very fascinating. Midrash agada al hadosois v'al hadinin v'hagzeirois shel tzara hanigzarois al Yisrael. He says three words: dosois, dinin, and gezeros. Now, what do you mean dos? Every single person here in this room, except for one, said once upon a time, hare at mikudeshes li b'tabas zu kedas. No ayin. Dalid saf das. What does das mean? According to the law. The law. Rav Meir always says, you have a sister-in-law, a mother-in-law, a brother-in-law, a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, mother-in-law. So what's your wife? The law. The wife is the law. She is the das. When did you make the wife the law? Kedas. Das means the law. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. The word das means the law. So according to Rashi's Medrash Agada, the word Yidusun, the Shoresh, ignore the Lamed and the Yud. The Lamed and the Yud, they're just a prefix. I don't know how you get the Yud becomes a prefix, but the Lamed certainly is a prefix. Le, Ye, Nu, the Yud is padded. The Vav is just vowels. The Nun, you know that, that's a suffix. You put it at the end of the word. The Shoresh of the word Lidusun is Das. And now, I never heard this before. Das means law. There are laws. Every country has laws. Hopefully you have laws. In this country, you have a Bill of Rights. Mamish, a Bracha, Shein Kamo. Israel, don't get in trouble with the law in Israel. There's no Bill of Rights in Israel. There's no constitution. You get in trouble with the government in Israel, you're finished.
I like the way you translated it as an edict.
Edict. That's my question.
Some sort of basis in whatever constitution.
The Bible.
Or whatever founding on which the country rests. An edict is, could be arbitrary.
So that's what surprised me. That's what surprised me is that Rashi here, through association, puts, he says three words. Al hadosois, the al hadinin, the hagizerois, shel tzara.
What's the difference between das and din?
Din could be the judiciary, the judicial system that's rigged against us. That's what he's talking.
He's saying there's a bias. A das is a bias. But when it comes to kedushin, laws.
The way the so-called justice system is set up to work against us. That's what he's talking about.
In this example, it says all three. Rashi puts together three words in one sentence, and then he concludes Shel Tzara Hanigzerois Ali Yisrael. Throughout Golis, the Jewish people suffer. It's a different type of anti-Semitism. There's just anti-Semitic danger. You walk down the street, Rachman al son, person can be attacked. And then it's where the system is rigged against you. The laws, the legal workings of the government are designed specifically to make the life of a Jew impossible. That's a much more complex, it's a different type of anti-Semitism. What do we do? This is the law. Follow the law.
Nuremberg laws, they were called, right? And the laws that discriminated against Jews.
Right, right. So I got confused with you. So right. Exactly. The Nuremberg laws in Germany, the beginning of the war, before the war, leading up to the war, laws. It wasn't just outright murder. It started with laws.
It was legal.
Legal, exactly. Legal to hate a Jew. Legal to hate a Jew. That is what Rashi was writing.
I have a thought. I don't know if it's true or not. I was thinking maybe the difference between Das and Din. So Das is the law, and Din is like Dino, they know, Dino, it's known as Dineinu. In other words, it's, when there were two litigants, that's Din.
In between two people.
Yeah,
and Das is between, is just the hard law, the constitution.
Das is the law.
The law. And Din is arbitration.
Is arbitration legislation.
Arbitration.
Beino.
Okay, it's very good.
Beino is Beino.
Just like Bina, still to where Bina is understanding, Mevin Davim Mitoch Davim. This arbitration, Din is. It's the process. It's the process of executing the Das.
Something is coming against us, accusing us, going as the Neno.
It's the application. The Din is the law. And I'm saying the Das is the actual law on paper, and the Din is the execution of what the law is.
Legislative process is word for
execute. It is the executive element. He's saying the Din is the executive element of the legislation, of the legislator. The legislator is the Das, and the executive branch is the Din. Where you're executing you're applying the laws. Okay.
It seems Rashi says three things here. You need the situation is, it's not so epic. Dinim zerot and dirt. But that's the situation of the time. And then you need a special chazan to sing to that mood of the situation, and also the cliché, also...
So your column is putting all three together.
Cannot use the Khalil.
You're a darshan of Kalman. So you're putting all three together.
Rashi, good.
You put all three. Rashi provides three interpretations as to what this liyidusun. There are three elements here in this Rashi. First, we have Mordechai is telling us the word das is the law, din is the arbitration. It's the
Din is the litigation.
And then the gzeiros is the punishment. You hand down the law. There's the law. And then there is, does it apply in this case? How does it apply in this case? And then the judge makes a decision, guilty. That's the gzeira. Very good. I'm saying very good. You're saying a beautiful idea. There's a process. Rashi over here is you're trying to say it's a process. First is the law. Then is, oh, now let us execute the law. And let's deliberate. Are you guilty? Are you not guilty? Is this an exception? And then, ha-gezera, guilty. Sheltsara, this is the nature of the goyim. They pass laws, and then they judge us, and then they declare us guilty. And what are we left with? Gerois Tzaras, we got big problems. Okay, that's the third interpretation. Now again, going to the word of das. And das, again, it's interesting that over here the word das, over here in this context is used, not necessarily, it's the law, and we use this every wedding. Probably the most famous use of the word, kidas Moshe the Yisrael. Every marriage is a conditional marriage. It's a very powerful thing, that concept. The Gemara uses this. V'hashesuyo chados, excellent, in the Megillah. Chados ein oines. Chados, so what does it mean here in that context? It means kados, according to the law. Everyone has your own law. Own Shulchan Aruch. Someone once told me once, you go, you give shiurim, you go and you talk about all the halachas, but then when it's over, you have your own Shulchan Aruch. You have your own Shulchan, come give me Musa. You go, you learn one thing, you preach one thing, and then for yourself, you have your own Shulchan Aruch, you have your own... That's pretty stark Musa. Kedas. Das means law. V'hashesio chados.
That Mordechai served the Yidden and Haman served
the Goyim. According to each country. Each country, they follow their own laws. Each person. Das. Okay, over here it means the Yidusun is Das. And then we have a Vakalman is saying a beautiful idea. We were taking all three together. That Rachmana Litzlan, when there's a certain situation in Klal Yisrael where they are legislating laws and they are carrying them out, we need a leader. We need a leader. We need a person who fits the role to serve in this leadership, and he has to have the right kalim, the right tools at his disposal. He has to be melumad in dealing with the situation. You just can't take a guy off the street. There's a person, he needs the proper education, the proper training. He needs kalim. He needs utensils, a special musical instrument. When you're dealing with every situation, needs the right person, and that person needs to be supported with the right tools to be effective in his leadership, in getting us where we need to go. Okay, the OU, they do incredible work. They lobby the government, they have people in position, and the Aguda as well, the OU and the Aguda, each of these two organizations, for the Orthodox National Council also, for Tekufa, when it was under the authority of Michal Miller. I don't know now what's going on. The National Council, is there anything going on, National Council? Totally zero? They don't even, they have an office?
It exists in cyberspace.
What? There's no people involved? The ZOA.
There's a board.
Yeah.
But,
leaders.
Great Wally press release, but no.
I used to follow Morton Klein.
Okay.
He's the ZOA, the Zionist. What's it called? Zionist
Organization of America. The giant made proud members.
Are they very active?
Yes. Yeah.
And he's the leader? He's the leader?
Yes.
So he's there at least 20 plus years.
Yes.
For sure. And he's very stark, right? And they lobby the government. These are people. These are.
I mean, I've been with them on their Washington mission.
Shalom Aleichem. Baruch Haba.
Baruch Haba.
Welcome. Stand up in honor of Baruch. Okay, so this is Rav Kalman is saying of today we have a knockout punch here. We have a Mordechai and Rav Kalman will be obtaining over here very powerful stuff. Over here we're dealing with very difficult situations, and in these situations you have to have the right person. A person who has a passion for his role. And he has to be equipped with the right tools. The three really go together, it's very, very true, to deal with the whole, deal with the entire process of being a member of the world. We're in Golis, we are subject to our host government. Okay? Long live the king. Okay? I don't understand. All the world leaders, heads of state, have been invited to the funeral. And almost everyone that has come to this funeral from all different countries, either they're part of the Commonwealth, or they were part of the Commonwealth. There's only one head of state that's mamish, a Moiri de Malchus. America. America was founded as to outright rebellion, mamish war. And that head of state is the only one that gets to go in his own limousine. It's Olam Hafach. Olam Hafach.
The
Olam Hafach. The only country that's a rebel. Mamish is founded on rebellion against the Malchus is the one that gets the ultimate covenant. The funeral, the Queen of Elizabeth's funeral is today.
Yeah, I know. So
all the heads of state are going. So they said there's too much traffic. All the heads of state are going on a bus.
Oh, yeah.
Like you go, like a camp, like, you know, you take children on a bus. School bus. They're all going to go on the school bus.
Yeah, what are the guys?
Kinderlach.
You have to be in the crowd.
The heads of state, you know, the head, you have to go on the, like, you know, krich on the bus.
So
there's only one head of state that will let go in his own entourage, yeah, with his own sirens. That's going to be the President of the United States of America. He gets to go in his own entourage.
Yeah, so he doesn't get lost.
He's a Mori B'Malchus. America was founded on rebellion.
They all rebelled, so to speak. You know.
No, not all. Canada's loyal. Canada pays taxes to the... Canada is yeah, they pay taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
They still pay taxes to England. They're part of the Commonwealth. What does that word mean? I don't know.
They're like an alumni
minion.
So the billionaires.
Someone asked me on Shabbos, what does it mean Commonwealth? It's like an alumni meeting. You go down the highway. It's an alumni, a country. It's an alumni meeting to Britain. Okay, getting back to serious stuff here. So this is Rashi's three beautiful perushim. There's no mitzvahs. Let's see over here. Let's look at the Rid, the Taisvis Rid. Pasuk Aleph on page 350, right below Rashi. Perish Reid on the Zech Lidus Mizmor David Mizmor Zechu Lidavid Shechibrei Al. Now this is very. I don't know what this means. I was hoping to find more time to know what this means. He's very interesting. Al Noyam Piyot Shetechiloso Yidusun. I don't know what that means. Anyone know what that means? The beauty of liturgy, Piyot liturgy, and the beginning of liturgy is Yidusun. Love? What does it mean, Yidusun? You did. It's a common word, you did. You did Hashem. You did means the beloved. Belovedness. I think what it means over here means when you write liturgy, a piyutim, the goal is to express chibur. Isn't that what most of the piyutim are about? Even the slichos, even the kinois. When you write piyutim, there is an expression of love. I believe that's what he means. I believe that. No, don't say shechibro. What is a shechibro? Shechibro al noyam piyut. No, it doesn't say
that
name.
Was composed based on the style.
Style, right? A style of love.
Style of writing
appear. Right, so but what does it mean the word Yidusun? I think it means Miloshon Yidid Hashem. Ulivinyaminomar Yidid Hashem Yishkoin Lovetach Olav Yidid means beloved. A piyut is a poem of love.
But we have different styles of poetry.
Yes, we do.
So this was a style
of poetry. So this is already the fourth pshat. A person, a utensil, laws during an era, and now David wrote this mizmor not like the other mizmorim. This mizmor has a different form. It's written as a piyut. Now, most of us, for me, I don't know. I not.
What's the tochen of this mizmor? It's very sad.
Yeah. It's sad. Yeah.
So then we can put another explanation. Yeshiladut. It's a bow.
A dus. It's an Aramaic word. A bar vidus. A dus. A bar vidus. Rav Kalman is saying the word yidusud and suggesting it comes from the word dus. Dus is a pit. Is a pit which expresses... Mimamakim, very good. Mimamakim, Kerasich Hashem. Very interesting, okay? We have to see. Okay, so this is already the third, at least the fourth parish. O yesh loymar. Okay, now this, he's repeating what Rashi says. O yesh loymar. Shemisoroi le'echad min ha-mishoyrim shahoyeshmo yidusun. V'zeh ha-mizmar. Yesh loymar. Now, okay, very nice. You're telling us about, it's a piyut, who he gave it over to. What was the purpose of this piyut? Yesh loymar shechiboy al atzmai. According to what he wrote, this David is reflecting on his own private life. Shoye mispadel al oivav, which is a very common theme in the Tehillim. O yesh loymar shechiboy al tsoras. This is really what Rashi said. Al tsoras kineses Yisrael she'asidin. That's really exactly what Rashi said. But Rashi used this in reference to the word dos. Rashi says dos means laws. The gzeirois, the goyim, are going to bring upon the Jewish people the sorpei ruach hakodesh. David is over here coming to be mispal the kolish baruch, which should save us from the dosim, das, the laws, the gzeirois, kedas, moish of Yisrael that are going to come over klal Yisrael. So, but that's not that he's borrowing from what Rashi said, but he's saying it a little bit different. He's saying that David over here he's expressing agony, yidusun a piyut, like almost like maybe what he means is chakina. Maybe what Rashi means when he says a piyut shetechiloso yidusun, it's a form of piyut which has a flavor of sadness. I don't know. I really don't know what the word means. I don't know. Maybe we'll come across it.
Can you look at the targum?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that might shed some light.
L'shabacho al matras space makdisho. Okay, very good. We live with that. Matras means the target. He's adding something very important over here. The shmir of the base makdisho. Al pumei didusun through the mouth. Didusun. Then he says tushbachno leDavid. So I see, if not for the fact that he says the pune didusun, I was hoping the word lidusun would be the matros based mikdash. You know why? Because you did Binyamin, the base hamikdash is built where? In whose chelek? In the chelek of Binyamin. Livinyamin amar yidid Hashem yishkoin lovetach olav chayfev olav kol hayoyim uben kisefav Shochein. So the Binyamin, the Beis HaMikdash is built on the portion of Binyamin. Why on the portion of Binyamin? There are many reasons. Number one, Binyamin was the only Shevet born in Eretz Yisrael. All of the Shvatim were born in Chutz Liaretz. Binyamin did not bow down to Esav, and Binyamin was the only one that did not participate in Mechiras Yosef. Even Yosef participated in Mechiras Yosef. Okay? But Binyamin did not participate in Mechiras. He's the only one who did not. So therefore, there are three critical reasons as to why the Beis HaMikdash is built on the portion of Binyamin. Number one, he did not participate in the Mechiras Yosef. As Rav Mordechai said, he did not bow down to Esav. And number three, he was the only one that was born in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you're saying very good, look at the Targum. Tell me a little bit, so if not, they really go together.
Matris
means protection. The matras, the protection, the base mikdash, the base hamikdash serves as a shield of protection. I would think that's what the word yidusun refers to, the base hamikdash. But yet the targum over here adds in more words al pumei, the mouth of didusun, which sounds like the name of a person. It sounds like that didusun is, he says pume, the mouth, does not say a musical instrument, does not say laws that are being enacted, does not say a style of poetry. It says, you're saying very good, Mordechai, you brought our attention to the Targum, I have to really learn Targum. I have now no excuse because now I found online a translation, a very precise translation of every single word in the Targum, in English. So I have to really no excuse to go back and study to prepare the Targum. I used to be lazy because it's very hard to go look up every single word. Now I have an English translation of every single word of Targum and Sefer Tehillim. And we have to really spend time on time because the Targum is an enormous amount of commentary. And here it says the Pume. Pume over here indicates that we're dealing with a person. A person, my name is Yidusun. And the next two words, just a translation of the word Mizmor David. But then he adds something over here that does not appear in, it says Lam Natseach. The only word Lam Natseach is Lishabocha. So what is the Targum adding in these words? Al Matros Beis Mikdisha Al Pume Didusun. Okay, so obviously there's some connection between the Beis HaMikdash and the mouth of Yidusun. And it's not a coincidence, the word Yidusun seems to be related to the word Yidid. Can you really say that? Yidid, there are two Dalits. Yidid, is it fair to say that the word Yidid and Yidusun are related? I don't know, probably not. Okay, but at least there are two letters there, whatever that means. And he is injecting that there's an element over here of the Shemira of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's look at the Malbim, page 350 in one liner, Lamatseach, B'mizmo zeh, hazeh yidaber nichbodois. He's gonna speak about honorable things, choshva things, matters of importance, matters of great importance, what? Al soid hanefesh v'inyinah. The Malbim throughout this Mizmor is going to go off on his own. He's going to say things that no one has any shaykhas, no one on the page over here has any connection whatsoever. He's going to talk about, give you a whole story, a beautiful story about the neshama. We're dealing with the neshama, the secrets of the nitzchis of the neshama and its agony in this world. Vinyana, v'al mitziusa bezeh haguf hanaguf, and its existence in the person's physical body that's been afflicted. Sounds like Sefer Iyov almost, what he just says over here. How does that relate to Li Du Sun? It seems, he's not saying, let's look, is there a translation over here? And there's no Be'er HaMilos of explaining this. It would seem from the opening line of the Malbim that he's learning the word Yidu Sun is another word for the Neshama. Okay, that's a little bit of a leap. Quantum leap to go from what the Malbim just said to what I'm just saying is because he doesn't explain. Is the word Yidusun, is the Malbim relying upon all the other commentators that the word Yidusun means the name of an instrument? It means the name of a person. It refers to a certain era? No, is he saying that? Or is he trying to suggest that the word Yidusun is a term that defines the essence of the neshama? Yidusun. Is it related to the word Yidid, beloved? It's something very chaviv. Maybe we'll discover something as we go through this. Okay, let's see now the Chaimus Anoch. Did he say something? I thought in the Chaimus Anoch I prepared something. Chaimus Anoch.
There are five neshamas. The Ramchai, it's called the Ramchai. Nefesh Ruach Neshamah
Yedido. Yedido. Oh. Okay, Mordechai hit the jackpot already a third time today. I'm recording for you. Three chidushim already. That's one of the five names of the neshama. Go to by Frank, go to by Conchul. They have the five. It's called Yedida.
The people of Gurdy Kabbalah know the Ranchai. The Ranchai.
There are five.
The Ranchai.
Ranchai? Five. So say with the five names.
Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaye,
Yedida. Okay, in the Rekonshul, they light five candles when you down for the Amud, by the Amud, right? There are five. I never saw this in any shul in the whole world. Five candles. Every time they daven the tefillah, they light five candles. And next to the five candles on the candles, it says there's a plaque with five names of the neshama. And one of them is Yedida. Correct? Yedida. So that explains everything. Li Du Sun. Obviously, there's a relation to the word Yedida and the word Yidusun. And the Malbim over here says, this Mizmar is dedicated to the neshama. Dedicated to the existence of the neshama in the guf ha-no-guf. in the body that is afflicted. Okay, so we really made some progress over here. Anyone else here, any other Mefarshim, look over here in the Ibn Ezra. We hardly have learned Ibn Ezra. Lavasech li dusun, kivar hiskarti b'risha sefer, ki echad meha mi natsichim hoya. Okay, what does that mean over here? Ki echad meha mi natsichim hoya, one of the conductors. Yeah, there's something over here with nusach achim, I'm not sure what he means over these brackets. Lufi daiti, shepiut yodua hoya bidoiram, it was a well-known piut, v'chibro yidusun. Here, the Ibn Ezra is saying something radical. David did not compose this mizmar. That's radical, because it says here, mizmar le David, excuse me. It does say mizmar le David. Ask anyone on the street, they'll tell you mizmar le David means that David is taking full credit. Full credit. This is plagiarism to say, to take this without giving David his credit. And the Ibn Ezra is saying, no. This is a well-known mizmar in their generation, v'chibro yidusun. And then he, oy, acher chibroi, sheyishabachenu v'hoyeresh, or maybe someone else composed it, sheyishabachenu v'hoyeresh ha-piyot li-dusun. He's saying here that the beginning of the piyot, he's saying another idea, maybe this is what the Rid meant to say, maybe v'hoyeresh ha-piyot li-dusun, the opening line. There's sometimes, maybe, I'm just thinking out loud with you, that maybe there were certain piyutim that were written by individuals, but the opening line you would give to a professional. Person would make a piyut, okay, this is my piyut. But in order to start off with eloquence, with chokhmah, you would hire a professional. The professional charges by the letter. Can't afford to pay him to write for me a whole piyut. So at least I'll hire him to write the opening line. And maybe it was very common that Yidusun, this person, by the name of Yidusun, he would compose the opening line of Piyutim. And the rest of the Piyut was the Mechaber, whoever the Mechaber was. So he's saying over here two different ideas. Either the entire Piyut was composed by Yidusun, or at least the opening line was composed by Yidusun. That would explain why it says Mizmor LeDavid. Maybe the 90% of this piyut was composed by David, but the opening line of this piyut, they gave the cover to Yidusun, who was a legend in their generation, to know. He was like the Kalir. He was the Kalir of the generation. No, he was the one who opened up the Mizmor with, he gave the keynote address. Like you go to an event, and you have an event, you have a hachtorah, right? You have a coronation. You have some type of event or anything, and you have even a hespedim, and you have many speakers. There's always one person who is the Rosh HaMedabrim. The Rosh HaMedabrim. Yidusun in a piyut itself knew it's going to be composed by this one, by that one. Maybe there were multiple people that contributed to writing of the piyut. But there's going to be a line that was embedded into the opening of the piyut to give cover to the ultimate, the keynote speaker, Yidusun.
Or you can say that there are three people here. David wrote the words, Yidusun the music, and then he goes to learn, and David instructed Sartin Menatzeach to
how it should be sung.
Because Lam Menatzeach, Yidusun, Le David.
Mizmor LeDavid. Excellent. A lot of chidushim here in the shiur today.
A lot of chidushim. It's a very interesting that you hear this from the Ibn Ezra, because his life was as the major poet of his time. In his most of his life, all the other people, I mean, famous Rishonim also would send, before they published anything, would send their stuff to him to proofread and critique, and ask them if it was good enough to emanate to the rest of Klal Yisrael.
Fascinating.
That's what he did.
He had an appreciation.
He understood that, so he had to critique everybody, and then if he passed muster, if he said this is good, they published it.
Fascinating. So he firsthand understood understood that certain people, Yidusin gave his haskam on this. You think another idea?
Actually, later in his life, when he was thrown out because he insulted the king one time and they threw him out of the country.
Yeah, a very, very difficult life. What?
Yeah. He was a poet, not a rabbi.
Okay, let's see. Say page 61. Let's turn to page 61 of Dr. Dove. Is giving us good advice. Page 61 in the Ibn Ezra. La Masech Lagitois. Algitis. Algitis Hashem Hashem Adonenu. Zeramizmon Nisanol Lemishpachas Oivid Edoim Hagiti. Okay, the Gitis. Oivid, he was the one that hosted the Aroin of Hashem, Shum Ibn Levi, Kumay Al Yidusun, which is, that's a different Mizmar, Piyut.
No, that's our Mizmar.
No, we're not doing 61, we're Yidusun. We're doing now, right, but he's referring to a different, we have him again. We're going to have this again later on, Samach Beis. Okay, so he's going to appear again. Yidusun is not over yet.
But over here, he refers back to
FSA. Oh, that's referring to over here. Okay. So here's saying that he's referring to the person Yidusun, the person that it was given over to this specific person Yidusun. Okay, that's what Rashi said. But the Ibn Ezra says something a little bit more. He is a little more flavor. He is more flavor by telling us Kivaris Kati Shabrosha say fair fine, and he was one of the conductors. Well, if he died, the Ibn Ezra's, my own opinion is, Shapir Zay Yidu Hoya Bidoiram, the Chibro Yidu. So he's not a conductor. He is a composer. It's a different profession. You go to a different school. He was a composer. And O Echad Chibroi, or maybe someone else conducted it, Shayishabachenu, Vayaroi Shapirot Lidusun. Okay, now if Kalman is saying something, another idea, which I really, really like, is, every mizmar has many different elements. There are the lyrics, there is the melody, and there is an art in who is going to be the Baal Tefillah, who is going to be the one who actually says it. Ein Adam, you have different Baal Tefillah. You can go hear a musaf in one shul in Russia, you hear a musaf in another shul. It's the same words.
Modern day music, go look at it. You have Green writes it.
Exactly. All music is like that. 99% of all of the melodies are not composed by the one who sells the CD. People they send in to these famous people constantly melodies, and whatever they like, they adapt and they accept. They give them credit. So there are different. There's a lam natseach. There is a mizmor leDavid, and then there's Lidusun. So Rav Kalman is suggesting, Lam Natseach, this melody you just don't sing. This is not a melody that everyone together, there has to be a conductor that leads this melody. Yidusun, we're suggesting over here, he wrote, he edited it, or he composed the beginning, and the rest of it is Mizmar LeDavid. There are three contributors, there are three elements in this mizmah. There's Lam Natseach, there is a mizmar leDavid, which seemingly means that David had a major hand in this mizmar, but there's another person that's also a partner in this mizmar. And going through the mafarshim, well, okay, you have all these different ideas. Okay, well, that's subject to interpretation. That's the question. That's the question of the old many different interpretations. Let's read one more long the Ibn Ezra. Gam ze hamizmar kamoha elyon ki al machalosa yidaber. Okay, there's another very critical important thing that he's telling us, is that this is not a new thing. The Ibn Ezra disagrees pretty much with everyone else that we've seen until now, who basically learned that this is al pi ruach hakodesh, that David HaMelech is referring to all of the difficult times that the Jewish people are going to encounter in their future. And Ibn Ezra says, nothing doing. David HaMelech is continuing, this is nothing more than a continuation of the previous Mizmar, reflecting upon his illness, his state of health after the Chet of Basheva, whatever, during his lifetime when he was deathly ill. Okay? And that's really, the Malbim to a certain degree agrees with that, because the Malbim learned that the previous Mizmar described the moment of death and everything that surrounds it. And here he's saying, and again he says, he opens up as well, this is about the neshama in its state of tsar, when it's within the guf, the body that has been afflicted, and Ibn Ezra is saying something similar. Okay, Sipurno. Look at the Sipurno now, on page 351, it's towards the middle of the page, the Sipurno Perek Lamites, Gamza Mizmo Oso Bimei Tzoratoi, Lishitosoi, Tzoras. Tzoras is a different type of disease. Tzoras is not necessarily a physical disease. Okay, according to the Malbim and according to the Ibn Ezra, David HaMelech was physically ill. He was dying. He was in pain. If they had pain medication, he was certainly on the pain medication. But according to the Sipurno, David was not necessarily in pain. There's this thing called tzoras. Is tzoras a disease where a person suffers physical pain? I have no idea. Okay, we don't know. We don't know how tzoras is a very big mystery. What exactly is tzoras? Is it a supernatural disease where a person is just put in quarantine? Or is there also a physical element to tzoras? Rav Shimon Schwab, Zeche Tzar Levracha, in Mayon Bay, Beis HaShoeva, he reads the psukim is that it is a stage two of leprosy. It's a very novel idea. If you read the psukim, what he says, mamish fits into the psukim like a glove. There's a disease in this world called leprosy. Okay, whatever that is, or some variety, a skin disease that is known to the world. Is when it says that in English they translate tzoras as leprosy. Okay, so is it really leprosy? Okay, if it's not leprosy, unfortunately, there are many other types of skin diseases that can be lethal and are very painful, all different types. And according to his understanding, as a person, he gets a disease that is well understood and is studied in the medical world. It's well understood in their medications, v'chulu v'chulu. That's called tzoras. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell this person, wake up, do teshuvah. I've given you, you have to go to the doctor. You got to pull out your insurance card. You have to go to the pharmacy and get some medication, some antibiotics, whatever it is. Maybe you have to go in quarantine. Maybe they put a person in isolation for whatever it is. Follow the rules. Follow the science. And then the person, it's the coincidence. It's just a coincidence. There are statistics. Every number of people in this world, this country, gets this, you get a cold.
First warning.
How often do you get a cold a year? You make a cheshma. People, how many times during the year you get a cold? Okay, everyone gets a cold at least once a year, no? I don't know, once a year, twice a year, whatever it is, you get a cold. Okay, you get a cold. So, big deal. And it's a coincidence. And then you don't pay attention. Then in the physical disease called tzoras leprosy, then comes you don't want to pay attention, warning shot, now I'm going to put upon you a supernatural lemala miderech hateva addition in the leprosy, where the color is going to change and the doctor is going to be baffled. What? This is not the way it's supposed to happen. I gave you antibiotics, I gave you this, I gave you that. It's doing something different that I'm accustomed to. I think we should call the Kohen. And the Kohen says, the tzoras has now, the physical tzoras that is understood, the medical tzoras, textbook medical tzoras, has now been transformed into the spiritual tzoras. And now you need to go into Bodod, Yeshev, Nichus, Lamachna, Meshavai, and follow all of the halachas. And he reads the psukim, go to Parashas Mitzvah, he reads the psukim, and the person has tzoras, which means the physical. Imamish fits him perfectly. And he develops that idea. There are many things in the Torah where you have a lot of things, you have physical things, and you have the same exact word used in reference to the supernatural element, like certain creatures. There's a nesher, the physical nesher, and then there is a spiritual nesher. There's a re'aim in this world, whatever the re'aim is, some type of creature that's something similar to a giraffe, according to Rabbi Nosson Slifkin. And then on top of that, that's a mashal for the spiritual being called a re'aim. There's saras, leprosy, which is well understood and studied in the medical world, and then there's a spiritual tzaras which is superimposed upon the physical tzaras. So here, there's something over here, he's dealing with tzaras. Zeh hamizm osa b'mei tzoratoi. David Chazal said the real tzaras. Badad yeshev michutz l'machane mashavai. That element of tzaras, is there physical pain that comes with it? We have no idea. But it's not what the other mefarshim were saying. They make no mention of tzaras. They only make mention of a physical weakening of the body. K'moy ha-koydim, omer afal pish she-shamati kin turin. May Achitofel, going back to the story of Achitofel and Doeg, who were his arch enemies, who tried to destroy him and tried to support Avshalom and have David removed from the Malchus. And David is going to go on, the Sipurna already is moving into the Mizmar. David over here is going to emphasize the concept of not responding to insult. When a person is insulted, it is not always the best idea, the smartest thing to respond. It depends on the time and the situation. When David was weak and he was on the run from his son Avshalom, he was insulted by Achitofel and by Doeg, David felt now is not the time for me to respond. Later, okay, so Sach HaKol, we've gone through everything here on the page, and we've walked away with about, I would say, 6 or 7 interpretations as to the meaning of this first pasuk. L'natzech lidusun mizmor l'rivu, very quickly, just memory. Rashi gives us the first three off the bat. Yidusun is a person. He was a person who's going to be the conductor, a famous conductor. He is instructed with the role of leading Klal Yisrael in reciting this mizmor. Second interpretation, this is the name of a musical instrument. Third interpretation, the word Yidusun comes from the word Das. As we say, the Hashisio Chados Einones. As every wedding, Haret Mikudeshisli B'Tabazu Kidas. Moshe V'Yisrael, the word Das means a law. In this context, we're describing all of the gezeros that the Umay Sa'olam will legislate against the Jews. The Nuremberg Laws, all the different types of horrible things that the Goyim have legislated against the Jews. It's a flavor of anti-Semitism where they hide. In a sophisticated way, they enact laws which make it easy for them to do to us what they want. Next interpretation, we had the word Yidusun. It seems that he was not a conductor, but a composer. Big, big difference. And that's what the Ibn Ezra said, and that's what the Rid said, and the Ibn Ezra. He was not a conductor, he was a composer. That's already 4 Perushim. And then we had from the Malbum. The Malbum says it would appear if Mordechai brought this out, that Yidusun is Yedidya, which is one of the names of the Neshama, and the whole Mizmar is about the Neshama. That's 5. The Kriya Nechsev. We didn't do that. Yidisun. So what's the difference between the two? The Vav and the Yud. But there's no Dal. We need another Dalit. We're missing the Dalit. The U turns into makes the Dalit. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. The Kriya Nechsev, I don't know why. There's some. I don't see anyone talk about it. I'm sure there's a reason. The Kriya Nechsev. So we said it means Lashon of Beloved, the Neshama. Okay, that was number 5. Then we attempted to say that the word Yidid, the Targum, number 6. The Targum seems to say that this has something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It has something to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and even though he says the Pumei Di Dusun, which seems to mean the mouth of Yidusun, which we're going to get to. There's really, I left that one, I left the Radak, we'll get to the Radak in a second. He says the word about Beis HaMikdash, which leads us to suggest maybe it refers to it refers to the Beis Hamikdash, which also is related to the word Yedid, beloved. Because the Beis Hamikdash is built on the Chelik of Binyamin, who is called the Yedid Hashem. Now I left out another answer, and that is look at the explanation. Look at the Radak, a one-liner. The Radak says Amarti. Okay, Pasuk Aleph Amatzech Liyidusu Mizmor David Zeh Mizmor Chibra David. He makes no clear. Don't get any ideas here that there is another composer. David composed this. Unisano Liyidusun Hamishoyer. Now the word Mishoyer is not necessarily the same thing as Lamnatzeach. Now it begins Lamnatzeach. We like to translate Lamnatzeach as the conductor. Now a conductor is not a player. You go to an orchestra, the maestro doesn't play a musical instrument. Not at least at the
They used to.
Yeah?
The first violinist was the conductor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that is a chiddush. You learn something every second here.
You have to go to music class. You know,
they still have it in some places.
The conductor actually plays an instrument.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So maybe that would explain this idea, because what is he saying? The Meshoyer, the singer. All right, so you'll say that the Meshoyer is a translation of a conductor. You just have to get your vocabulary straight. I would say he's a Meshoyer is a singer, you know, the one that actually sings. He's not instructing. He's saying Lam Natzeach Kama. But according to, if you want to read into the Radak, you have to read the pasuk like this: Lam Natzeach. Period. Put a period for the conductor. Okay. Find yourself the best maestro in the country. Next, who is in the orchestra? Who's the orchestra? The orchestra is the orchestra of Yedusim. He's one of the players. He's one of the singers. Now, when it says the Mishoyer, does that mean a musical instrument, or does that mean someone who actually sings? The maestro doesn't sing. He doesn't play a musical instrument. In the orchestra, there are people who play musical instruments, and sometimes they're accompanied by a choir. They're accompanied by people who actually sing. He says l'hamishara. So Yedusun, maybe he refers to someone who is singing. He's an expert in this matter, and that to a degree, maybe you look in the Targum. The Targum says something very important. Pumei de Yedusun. If you're going to learn that Lamatzech means a conductor, I don't know what a conductor was in ancient times, but today conductors don't talk. If you ever watch a performance from an orchestra, you have the conductor just moving his hands. I don't know what he's doing exactly. Can't exactly figure out what all those movements are all about, but you don't see the conductor singing. He can be a mute. And it can be a master. What then does the Targum add? Pumei is not called a conductor, unless you want to say that the 21st century is not the way things were done. The word Lamnatzeach in the time of David is not the word Lamnatzeach in the 21st century. Today, a conductor doesn't sing. Maybe the meaning of a conductor in the time of the Beis Hamikdash was part of the job of being a conductor, Lamnatzeach, is he leads the singing. So then, okay, very good. It says the Pumei de Yedusin. And as well as what it says over here in the Radak, it means the Meshoyer. Okay, we need to go into a time machine back to the time of the Beis Hamikdash and take some pictures and come back and study the pictures to get a better idea of what these words really mean. We have this tendency to take concepts today and superimpose it upon the way things were 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, and then we're shocked to learn, no, you got it all wrong. You're taking a modern concept, a modern term, and you think that's what it means 3,000 years ago. That's not what it means 3,000 years ago. It means something totally different. Oh, but in the art scroll it says conductor. Okay, so it says conductor. So the world goes on. Doesn't mean you have everything it says in the art scroll. Exactly. So what is the precise definition of the word Lamatzeach? You look in the article, say, for the conductor. So if you go open up the dictionary, a conductor. You don't need to open up a dictionary. Everyone knows what a conductor is. He has a baton, and he wears a tuxedo with tails, and he moves his hand up and down. That's what it means in our vocabulary. But obviously, that's not what it meant in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So what did it mean in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? I have no clue. And when you look at the Targum, these nuances, the Pumei, the Yidusim, you look at the Radak, it says, HaMeshoyer, there was a famous Zeh HaMizmer Chibre, in the Radak, LaMazek Lidusim Mizmer David, Zeh HaMizmer Chibre David, Unisano Lidusun HaMeshoyer. The Inyan Oik, Inyan HaMizmer HaKodim Lozeh, he agrees with what the Ibn Ezra said, agrees, this is a continuation of the previous Mizmer. So we've gone through about 6, 7, 8 Perushim of the meaning of the first pasuk. This is the best part of every mizmar, to get an appreciation of what the general theme is going to be and who wrote it. Yeah.
We talk about the Matzeach, what you see in the show, but before that, when they made all the chazarot,
practice.
There it instructs each one, you sing this, you do this.
That's not saying a chiddush. You're saying a tremendous chiddush. You're saying that the element of dibur is the hachana. It's a chiddush to say that. That's a tremendous chiddush to say that. You're saying that the element of dibur in the Lamatzeach is the preparation where he instructs them in advance. But as they actually perform, he's silent. Mipumei. It sounds like al-pumei didusun. Instruction. Rav Kalman is suggesting that when it says the Pumei, it means not singing, instruction, commands, practice.
I said HaMenatzeach usually is the one...
The organizer.
He does it before.
Overseer.
Before. And then he goes on the stage and he does the...
They perform.
But that's what he does. And David was, if David was the writer, and he has this parent I need... For this this orchestra, I need this singer, lead singer. I want Shulam Lemmer. I want him. Nobody else. You know,
arrangement.
He's very in control. Every single thing. It's interesting. They said that Rav Chutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I never saw Rav Chutner. I came long after. But they said that the Purim is Siva. Chaim Berlin, the big event of Chaim Berlin is Purim. Very elaborate. And they play songs, they play the same tradition, they play the same songs. No one ever heard these songs before. These are ancient songs most of them are non-Jewish songs. Right. Most of them are, I could show you on YouTube. Yeah. I could show you them, most of them are not Jewish songs. And they've been playing these songs forever. So they say that Rav Chutner, prepared for Purim, every single detail he oversaw. You're going to play this song first. And this song, he selected it, he was very much into music. He was very much, every Mitzvah Shabbos, someone came to play the violin for him. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, at a certain point in his life, he had a person that would come to his home, Mitzvah Shabbos, to play the violin. And he would sit and listen. That's what he was very into music. He selected these melodies. He selected when they're going to play the melody and when we're going to have a break. Then we're going to play this melody. And until this day, they follow pretty much that tradition until about a certain point in time. Then they play all the modern stuff. Then they play all the new stuff. But very in control. It's very, very fascinating. Is that people who are leaders. They micromanage every little detail, which is sometimes can be a very bad thing, and sometimes can be a very good thing. What was Carter, Lahavdil, Carter, Jimmy Carter, what was his failure? Jimmy Carter was a workaholic. He stayed up the whole night. There was probably no president who sat in the Oval Office for Jimmy Carter. He micromanaged every little detail. George W. Bush basically did nothing. He delegated every single thing to someone else. He had no patience for anything. Nothing. There's a story with him that someone spent a few years preparing a very extremely detailed plan that involved an enormous amount of money. And Vayihi Hayom, they came with the plans. The person who worked, they worked on this for years. They presented it to him. And he started putting on the presentation. And he said, you know, this is too complicated for me. Just tell me, what's the bottom line? What do you recommend? What do you recommend? And the person was very devastated because he's, you know, part of the Hana is to prepare and to prove to you scientifically this is the way to go. And he doesn't understand. Delegate. Delegation. This is a study in leadership. If you take a course in leadership, is it the proper thing to delegate, or is the proper thing to micromanage every single little detail? And obviously there are milestones to both, and there has to be a balance. So Rav Kalman was saying this, is that David over here is micromanaging every little detail about his melodies. I compose this melody, I make every single decision. I will decide who will sing, who gets the solo, who is going to be part of this, the beginning, the end, all the musical elements, who are the players. He's micromanaging every single little detail of his mizmar to achieve its desired result.
He was the king.
What?
He was the king.
Who says that? Many, many leaders will tell you that's not a good thing to do. They will argue, you lead, you have to give other people opportunity, and in fact, that's where the siyata d'shmaya comes from, is where you create a model, you create a general form, and the, but who you're leading people, they also have to have a feeling of to contribute, and you have to leave some room for Hashem also. You may think that this singer is gonna be the knockout punch. You don't realize you're only a human being. Let Hashem into the picture. Let other people make decisions, and you'll be shocked to see that the product is far superior than you could ever have imagined had you done it your way. And we all know this in life. People, they plan, and then at the very end, all of a sudden, the power to implement all of their plans is denied from them, and other people participate, and it comes out much, much better than they could have imagined, and they realize in hindsight, it was a bracha that I was denied the ability to put into place all of the little details. Happens all the time, things like that. You see the Yad Hashem. Yet, over here, David HaMelech over here is starting out, I'm going to decide who plays this instrument, which instrument, when, here, where, how. He's micromanaging. He's micromanaging the mizmor to the ultimate degree, and obviously every situation is different. Okay, so we finished the first pasuk. We have 8 perushim as to what it means, yidusun, and then Yirat Hashem, tomorrow we'll learn what it says. I mean, you know, that's what's really important, no? It's not just who the people are, but what did they have to say after all this? What did they say? Okay, we'll take a break when we learn afterwards, and we'll learn about peruzbol, and Yirat Hashem, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have to make a peruzbol. So we're going to spend today learning about...
We sent to the Kotel 2 sites for the first build. There's an online site.
Yeah, I have 3 already from the OU, from the...
Okay, we'll talk all about it.
From Rabbi Yehudi, yes.
I brought in my tefillin bag. I brought in my peruzbol from 7 years ago. I have it in my tefillin bag from 7 years ago. My peruzbol. So I'll go through the nusach of what I have on my peruzbol. And... according to what I've learned in my tenth, this is only a bidyan. This is not the ideal. I'll explain. We'll explain all this. It's very, very fast.
What did the animal sign on yours?
What?
What did the animal sign on yours?
The dayanim is Rav Doifink.
Oh, okay.
Rabbi Guzik. And Rabbi Thor. Rav Dovid Thor, Rabbi Guzik, and Rabbi Fink.
The
dayanim could be anybody.
And who are the Adim? Fantak. Aaron Fantak, you know Aaron Fantak?
Yeah.
And Elio ben Rav Doiv Ber Fink. Oh, he's no good. Maybe it's possible. He's the son of Dayan. Rav Doiv Fink's son, signed by Prisval. He's the son of one of the Dayanim. Oh, Shiloh, who says this is even good? I realize now that one of the witnesses of my Prisval is the son of one of the Dayanim on the Prisval.
The 2 Aiden can't be related.
Dayan
and an A can't be related?
Bidiyavet. the dayanim could be related. You want lechatchil? What?
David thought.
You can't have anybody to know the other. It's no big deal. No, not so posh. He's supposed to have a bezin chash of lechatchil. He's supposed to have a bezin chash. I'll
explain to you. Why on
because any loan that you lend the moment after you sign the prosbul is not included in the prosbul. So that's what you have for the very last minute. If you make a deposit in a bank, in a Jewish bank, if after diving in Rosh Hashanah, you go to the bank, a Jewish bank, in America it's not only Nogea, there aren't too many Jewish banks, you go in Eretz Yisrael, Heter Iska didn't do. Higher luchot, higher luchot. Heter Iska. It's ribbis.
It's not a loan. I'm in business with you. That's the whole point of a Heter Iska. It's not a loan.
If you put money in the bank, in a Jewish bank, after you sign your prison with every Rosh Hashanah, you got a problem.
Really?
But it's not a loan.
It's considered to be a zakva Allah b'milveh. B'diyeved, with all the chumras. Obviously, right. Obviously, the whole thing is only b'zman zem medu rabbanan. And because of the Rabbanon, it can be very, very makel in many, many, many
inyanim. The only person that I spoke with this morning, we were talking about first of all, because somebody just came back from Eretz Yisrael to rub by the hotel, said you have to do it.
Of course, I mean, I don't have to.
No. And I said to him, go back to them.
Have to, you can do it.
You don't have to do anything.
It just means that any loan.
The only person that I know that has to do it ever, Shana, is Yonis and Moskowitz promotion. He has so many people coming in every day owing you money. He said, if you don't do it right before you light candles, you're in trouble.
Well, the truth is, if the loan is not due until after Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to.
The loan is always due by then.
Oh, that's the question.
You go to the grocery, you buy.
If the loan is due instantly, then, if the loan is not due, stam loan is a regular loan is not due for 30 days, according to halacha.
So I told him we'll sit down again.
So after, once you come to Chodesh Elul, Mikra Adin, you can do the prosbul immediately. Because stam loan, according to halacha, you have 30 days. So the loan is not due until after Rosh Hashanah begins. So then there's no hashmata.
There is a Jewish bank. I didn't realize it. I had money in Emigrant Bank.
Emigrant Bank.
Yeah, they went out of business. They joined up with Apple. But Emigrant Bank was a private bank.
And they didn't want to have Heter Iska, right?
Whatever. Yeah, they told me I should take my money out of there.
Heter Iska, Shaila. Heter Iska. Oh, a prosbul. Tamari, a prosbul.
We can all sign on it.
We have to look at it.
You can pass it around and set it, and we make it pass.
Everyone has to do it. We'll explain. Everyone's separate. No, have one mess. No such
thing. Okay, so I printed three extra.
Okay.
I can print it.
Let's talk the halachas first. Let's get.
It's the wrong here. It's from last year's question. So you book it. You can't change it?
You can change it.
But
yeah, it was not today. It's only the Rabbanon. It is a problem. You should not change the document. It's not so possible to change the date.
Yeah, but if you write it, it's like, so you write on it. The day you sign it.
Mayor, you have an extra copy, Mayor.
What? It's wrong. Because I have
last year.
Last year.
It's beautiful, you know. They had it. You have this extra copy.
Last year. No,
that's it.
You can't change the date.
You're being paid a partial payment, and the rest of the thing is gone.
He has a book.
I told him.
And his son was the one that did the Shmo at the end.
Everything else, unfortunately, doesn't get paid.
If you send me a face and I can even look at it.
That's the bottom line.
Like he would do a piece, but then he would fly in between. He was a singer. But he did a piece, but he didn't schlep in between. He would fly in between.
Okay.
I said last night by Linda, that was 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not a morning person.
How did they get up, though, these people?